My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Studio. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Before I get to this Daniel Jones thing with you, Willie, there's a follow-up I wanted to ask you in the moment, but because we were running late and we had to get to break, I let it go. So you said something about 7:20, about while you were on the Jets and when you were with the unnamed player that you were with and talking about all the wacky things that were happening. You said you felt like they were cursed at one point,
yeah,
having gone through it. As we sit here today, do you still feel that way?
Do I still feel like the Jets are cursed?
Yeah. Because you clearly lived it.
It's hard to after what happened to Aaron Rodgers after four snaps on a Monday night when the whole world was watching. You know, watching Aaron Rodgers come out that tunnel holding the American flag.
Sure.
Against the Buffalo Bills. It was like, you know, Hard Knocks kind of really putting a microscope on everything and watching the whole that all that momentum, all that, like, man, this finally happened for the Jets. And after four snaps, and mind you, it was just a routine, okay, blown block by Dwayne Brown. Mm-hmm. This wasn't a mixed blitz. This wasn't a situation where he was running and slid. This wasn't a situation where he did something unathletic. He simply got sacked. And then, man, blew his Achilles. And by the way, also a man who, you know, probably eats clean, takes care of his body, does the necessary things so he can be the best he can be. And four snaps in, he blows his Achilles, and the Jets was over. It was just over because Zach Wilson wasn't ready. The defense was playing out of his skis, trying to keep this team afloat. And we watched a presser after presser between player and Robert Saleh, the life get drained out of this ball club. So with all that said, it's hard to feel like, man, you know, whoever has the voodoo doll on the Jets, please let up. Like, there's no reason to keep stabbing at it. Like,
yeah,
it's dead.
And I can't argue that point because it's happened over and over
and over
and over. And like Vinny, very similar. The whole, even though he played a little bit in that game, the Vinny Aaron Rodgers comparison is crazy. The fact that Vinny was there last year that night.
Even pivoted backwards a little bit. When Brett Favre was here, and they were 8-3.
Yeah, and they beat the unbeaten Titans on the road.
Yes, and he blows his tricep.
But tells nobody.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like there's these things that happen to the Jets where you're just like, all right, man. Like, it doesn't happen to any other franchise in the NFL. It just seems like the Jets are always the one where the dark cloud seemingly, you know, the dark cloud kind of is always over their head, over the franchise.
My only counter, and this is what I told CeeLo on Monday or Tuesday when we were talking about this, my only counter to that is, while I can't argue anything you're saying, because there's a part of me that while I don't really believe in ghosts and curses and stuff like that, yep. I can totally understand why you would think that. And I won't even argue the point, except to say that in our recent memory, yes. we've seen the Red Sox and the Cubs win. And there are people of those fans. I'm sure the Red Sox thought they were cursed.
But that doesn't
forever.
Mean anything to the Jets fan like a Joe Beningo who's been
It should,
there.
Though. No, but it should because Why? It goes to show that those franchises that have been beaten down have felt like they were cursed, had Bartman, had the ball go through Buckner's legs, mm-hmm. had, you know, champagne on ice, because if we had the ESPN win-loss probability on the screen back then, would have been 99.2%, and then the 0.8% they still wound up losing. I'm sure all of those people that saw Ted Williams play and never win,
yep.
that saw, you know, with the Cubs, I said Bartman, all the different crap that's gone on, they figured out a way to win.
I mean, Fiegelman, I don't know if you've seen this or you too, Jerry. There was a clip, I think, recently over the weekend or maybe this past week where I think Aaron Rodgers was at a golf event mm-hmm. and there was a Jets fan weeping. Asking Aaron Rodgers, please win him a yes. Super Bowl. Like, that's how emotionally distraught Jets fans are.
And so, I don't
When you
I
ask me if they're
them.
Cursed, I'm like, I'm the wrong person to ask, right? I mean, ask that guy.
Like, no, but you live, yeah, but no. See, I ask you because you're the one that actually lived it for a handful of years in
yes,
the uniform.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's one thing for us to
see
here.
But from the player standpoint, I never thought that because I couldn't, right? Because then that's I'm giving my efforts to something else that's bigger than me. Like, part of being an athlete is to be able to control or change the output of a game. So mm-hmm. I can't go into any game thinking like, well, you know, old Sarah over there got the voodoo doll. No matter how much I work at or study to put in the film room, you know, she has the final say. Like, that's insane for me to think. So, but when the question was asked and when I had this conversation, it just made me, it put me in a situation like, man, I know this team is trying its hardest. Like, I know we're trying to lock in. I know we're doing things, yeah, maybe unconventional to some degree, but I know there's an effort there. And for it to not feel like it matters at all makes you feel like you're cursed.
Was there ever, before we do the Daniel Jones thing, was there ever a time in a game where something goofy or wacky happened and you're like, you know what? I'm on the Jets. Of course. I know it's putting you on the spot, but thinking about a moment in time where you're in the huddle saying, I mean, you got to be kidding me with this team.
Yeah, I can't think. I mean, the whole Geno and Smith and IK situation was unreal.
And that was in the locker room.
That was in the locker room. But on the field, I got kicked off. Bill Belichick kicked me out of the game with like 6 seconds left. Well, he didn't kick me out of the game. It was Thursday Night Football, Jets, Pats. Me, DeBrickshell Ferguson, and Nick Mangold got in a little scuff on the Pat sideline.
I think I remember this.
Yep. And so Geno was actually driving to go win the game. He ends up throwing a pick. We go over the sideline. We get kind of melee with the Pats. It's in my if I'm trying not to have theater of the mind here, I'm trying to remember exactly, but I think it was like 13 seconds left. Our defense goes out there. The Pats are about to take a knee. Bill Belichick runs down the sideline, grabs the ref attention. He goes, hey, 60 and 66. I want them. They should be out the game because I had thrown a punch. Brick mm-hmm. had thrown a punch. You can't do that. I understand that. But at that point, we had through a pick. Our season was, you know, a dumpster fire. I was ready to punch everybody in the stadium. I didn't give a hell. So Rex, so me and Brick are standing next to you, sitting next to each other, about to grab our helmets and kind of walk. And the game's over. It's done. Rex runs down the sideline and goes, hey, you two. The ref just came over here and said, you know, he wants you two out of the game. And I'm like, I look at the clock. I'm saying, the game's over. Like, what do you tell you? He goes, yeah, Belichick ran down there. He's, you know, he kind of let the refs know that you guys should be out of the game. I'm like, Rex, we are out of the game. I'm sitting on the bench. He goes, yeah, but the refs, you know, this. So Brick doesn't care. Brick just gets up, grabs his helmet, and starts walking off the field. And as I'm walking off the field, just a pure, like, first of all, I'm getting kicked out of an NFL game on Thursday Night Football. The world is watching. Rex goes, Willie, just don't, another thing, just don't flick off the crowd on the way out. And I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, he's like, I know you're mad. It's, you know, we'll get through this. And Rex is trying to, and he's walking me down the sideline and the defense is kind of just waiting for the whole, you know, thing to be over. He goes, just, They won't start the game until you actually.
This was the walk of shame.
This is the walk of shame. Belichick put me through the walk of shame for defending my teammate. And by the way, this is the biggest kick in the nuts. So that all happens, right? And I wanted to Brian Cox to host stadium. I had two hot birds ready to flip up in a Gillette Stadium. We get back to we come in the next day. You obviously when you get kicked off, there's a fine coming. Mm. So I'm thinking. Yeah, $5,000 fine, $10,000 fine. Okay, I get it. You know. I go to Nick Mangold, who we ran over there to defend. Mm-hmm. I'm like, hey man, what was your fine? Oh, I didn't get fined at all. I was like, oh, well, you were there. I mean, I came to defend you. You were there, and he goes, yeah, but I didn't get fined. I'm saying, oh, okay, fine. So I look, and Brick was my locker roommate, if you will. I'm like, Brick, what did you get fined? He's like, yeah, I got fined 15 or 20 or something. And I was like, okay. Mind you, during this point, I haven't opened my fine. I'm just assuming I got what Brick
got. Probably the same, 15 or 20.
My fine was $35,000.
Why?
Because if you go to the film, I'm approaching the melee, and I assume one of the New England, somebody's grabbing me. So I'm thinking it's one of the Pats. Trying to like pull me out of, just kind of get me out of the way. And I kind of did one of these. It happened to be the ref. So the ref goes flying.
Oh.
And in the area, because you know they have those cameras, that the aerial shot, it looked like somebody shot him out of the camera. like if you ever been a scuff, I don't know who's grabbing me. First of all, you're behind me, so I can't see you. So I'm thinking somebody's trying to do something dumb. So I kind of did one of these. And the ref, he if I could ever find this ref, it was the biggest acting job I've ever seen.
This was an NBA embellishment?
It was insane. Jerry, it was insane. Like, I assumed, first of all, when I thought it was the Pat, one of the Pats, it wasn't. But I've never seen another grown man get flown the way that this guy, like Jazzy Jeffed away from me. It was insane. And I was just like, yeah, it cost me $35,000.
I will find this video on YouTube. I guarantee you it exists somewhere.
Oh, it exists.
It should be fun to see.
People have pulled it up before.
I'm sure they have. All right, so that's fair. Asked and answered, fair enough. You still think there's a curse. All right, real quick. So this Daniel Jones thing that we were talking about earlier, and the clip specifically too, which you'll see that I actually wrote down I wanted to ask you about. CeeLo played it, and it was about, don't you think you need to throw more than 15 touchdown passes in a season? I agree. In a day and age where we are up and down the field, we're flying the ball all over the place. You've got, you know, receivers with 100 catches all over the, well, not all over the league, but a lot of guys can get to 100 catches in a season because it's pass. I agree with all of that. My one question would be with Daniel Jones. Why do we discount the touchdown runs? Now, if you want to tell me, well, you know what?
Discount them?
Because all anybody ever looks at, so they talk about that, and the season they're talking about is the 2022 season, which was a playoff season, the playoff win in Minnesota, where he had 15 touchdown passes. He ran for 7. To me, the quarterback accounted for 22 touchdowns. Yes, it would have been nice if he had 22 touchdown passes, excuse me, and didn't run the ball. Fact of the matter is, and while that might be dialed back a little bit to start the season, I think you are what you are, and ultimately he will tuck it and run from time to time. And I don't think that that is going to be completely shut out of his game because that's what, to me, makes him a halfway decent
really
quarterback.
He can run the ball. He's a big man, yes.
Every time we go and we're at Giants camp, like we were this year, and I'm looking at him next to Boomer.
6'5"?
He has to be bigger than Boomer.
Boomer's a big man.
Yeah. So I just feel like everyone, they lock in on those passing touchdown numbers. And why can't we look, why do we, I don't want to say discount it, but why don't we look at it in totality and say, he does this, and he does this. Not every quarterback does. And just look at the total package of what he can be as a player.
You know, that's a good question. First of all, I think if anybody's honestly answering why he hasn't thrown more touchdowns, I know he had 2 touchdowns and 6 interceptions last year. His offensive line was atrocious. I mean, the bottom line, he had no opportunity to sit in the pocket and really deliver the football. And so they kind of had to really customize of him getting the ball out of RPO and be able to get upfield and go. With all that said, I think mostly because we look at how some of the elite quarterbacks, how they've been able to make hay, and that's been sitting in the pocket, deliver the football time. Mm-hmm. And that's just the history of the quarterback. Running the football, Valley, if you go to the Michael Vicks and Steve Youngs and all these guys, being a dual threat didn't really come along until those guys came along. It was always being that stoic quarterback. So I think it's just how we view the game fundamentally is why we pay more attention to the quarterback sitting in the pocket, delivering the football.
Fair. But he does do that. And I feel like he gets shortchanged for what he's capable of because the passing numbers aren't what you want them to be. And now you bring in a Malik Nabers who is supposed to, I mean, I would think he could do for what Odell Beckham Jr. for a short time did for Eli and really was able to stretch the field, which the Giants haven't done in years. I think they've got that now in a Malik Nabers who, and it's the preseason, it's one catch, it's not that big a deal, but that back shoulder leaping catch in Houston is something that they haven't had. And now you add that element to it. Now they're a threat down the field, which they haven't had in a while. You've got, while Saquon's gone, and I understand that, Devin Singletary's not a bad running back.
He's awesome.
It's not like, to me, they got rid of Saquon Barkley and said, we're going to go empty backfield now. I mean, they got him. They got a pro that can play. And now you should have a much better passing game. And then when he runs when needed, that's an element that a lot of quarterbacks don't have.
Yeah, I think it's tough because I think when you talk about Daniel Jones as a whole, the storyline is about his health.
100%.
Right? So if he's healthy, you do expect him to be, you know, at least a 10, 12 touchdown guy. At least, we would assume, adding the ability to run the ball. I think right now it's just a matter of, one, can you keep him healthy? Two, what does his offensive line look like? How much, and people, I think you mentioned this earlier the last time, Rumbers, people underestimate how much of a weapon Saquon was for this offense. Mm-hmm. They just like, oh, that's Saquon Barkley. You know, he's explosive, yada, yada. He was essential for this offense. And that's why I think some people look at him leaving, not just off the field, he was the company man, did everything you asked him to do from a brand standpoint. But on the field, his ability to block, his ability to be a safety net for Daniel Jones, his ability to make people miss, that's an extra security, an extra level of comfort that Daniel Jones doesn't have right now. So you're talking about a guy who's coming off an injury, not having a revamped offensive line without his number one weapon beside him, or at least that safety net. There is a cause for concern of what his production is honestly going to look like this year.
Well, fair, but I also think the new number one weapon should be this kid Nabers. And it's a different weapon, and it should make the game look a lot different, a lot more exciting, and they should be able to get up and down the field, I think.
We'll see. I love the kid. I like the big tight end, Theo Johnson. I think Jalin Hyatt hasn't even scratched the surface. Mm-hmm. What he did in Tennessee, and even last year, you saw glimpses of it when they can throw the ball, or when they chose to throw the ball. He can be a big factor. But Nabers, man, there's nothing. He's one of those guys. He's a Swiss Army Knight. There's nothing he can't do on the field. It's just how much are they going to implement him in the offense if they can't protect Daniel Jones?
Which is where it always starts and stops. Yes. Here's Joe in West Haven. What's up, Joe?
Hey, morning.
Morning.
So I feel like Daniel Jones has all the physical tools to get the job done, but mentally he just can't slow the game down. I feel like the 2 years he had with Jason Garrett and Joe Judge were so detrimental to his fundamental development that his decision-making from that terrible offense and terrible team scheme, whatever you want to call it, has just gave this man PTSD behind terrible O-line after terrible O-line. And anytime he sees any little bit of pressure, he gets flustered, and that's it. Like,
you know what, Joe?
Through day one against Dallas was awful.
Hey, Joe, by you talking about the Joe Judge time, it brings up another point, is that this will now be the third year with Brian Daboll.
Yes.
And this will be his most consistent time, essentially.
Since he's been a Giant.
Just by that alone, I expect him to be better. And last year, I can't look at last year other than it being an injury-riddled mess. So the only thing I really feel like I have to go on is the year prior to that with Brian Daboll. And if he ever got back to that level with this defense, is why I think the Giants could be a halfway decent team.
What was the caller's name, Joe?
Joe.
If you go back to that Niner game last year, there was like the opening drive where Daniel Jones was like, oh, this is
opening drive against the Cowboys too.
Right. And so they were like, man, this is it. This is what we've been looking for. And then so when he mentions the disconnect, those two examples is where I agree with him. Like, there's something in him when if he has to sit stoic in a pocket and kind of dissect his first, second, and third read, and things are coming at him, he doesn't have the moxie or somewhat the creativity to, like a Joe Burrow, to kind of like, oh, let me slip right, slip here, get it up to a running back or a quick dump to a tight end. His first initial reaction is tuck and get the hell out of dodge. So when he brings up PTSD, that's 100%. Like, that's what Justin Fields is going through right now between his bad footwork and his mechanics and his tendency to hold on to the ball. Look at Russell Wilson. Even him being a 9-time Pro Bowler, you could tell, you know, him being in Denver whatever those 2 years were, invalid, the second year was a little better. He has regressed from a mental standpoint just because of everything that kind of faltered around him. So there is something to that. I agree with Joe.
Yeah, I don't disagree. What I'm saying is hopefully year three with Brian Daboll, maybe that starts to regress and things get better because there's more consistency with what the hell they're trying to do.
Yep.
As opposed to different coordinator, different head coach, and everything changed every year. When we come back, Chris Lopresti joins us one more. Well, no, a couple more times. Only 8 o'clock. We'll do that also. We got on something with the fast food yesterday. I'm not going back to that, but something related to it. We'll do that at the end of the hour as well. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on The Fan and CBS Sports Network.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, welcome back inside the Built Ford Tough studio. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. Very cool Boomer and Geo favorite. Myself, too. Bruce Beck is going to join us at 9:20.
So love Bruce Beck.
That's kind of cool. That guy is in every locker room all over the city. So
New York
a couple minutes
icon.
With him. Yes. Agreed, and doing it for a long time. Yeah. Still doing it very well. So I'll have a couple minutes with him coming up next hour. But right now, Chris, it is your time to shine.
Okay, brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. Also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. Crushing finish last night in Arizona for the Mets.
1-0. Hit on the ground to second. Throw to first in time. Diamondbacks win. Mets take another gut punch on this road trip. A go-ahead grand slam by Corbin Carroll in the bottom of the eighth erases the Met lead.
That's Keith Rad, WCBS 88.
I know he'd never do it.
Recapping it.
I'd love for him to then, you know, ground ball, throw to first, and that sucks. Game is over.
Because that's how you can hear it in his voice. Like, you can tell.
Yeah, I mean, it's a crushing blow. No sure other way is. Around it. Because the Grand Slam was served up by Edwin Diaz after he walked a pair entering the game with two outs in the eighth. Eventually gives up that grandy to Carroll. Arizona wins it 8-5. We heard from Diaz earlier on in the show, kind of outlining some of his struggles, issues with the fastball, yeah, the slider, so on and so forth. Manager Carlos Mendoza remains confident in his closer, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not concerned. You know, he'll get through two outings, obviously, but I'm not concerned. You know, he'll get right back on the fire, and he'll be ready to go. He's been through it before, and he'll get through it this time again.
Put back on the fire.
These last two games have killed you.
Yeah.
Like, you've lost two games in the standings now. You went from a game and a half out. You're now four solid games out.
Yes.
29 left.
And that's a problem.
So
and
you guys understand.
And the bottom line, the only thing consistent about this ball club is they're going to blow it late. They're going to blow late games.
That has been their... They didn't in June and most of July, and since the All-Star break, they're kind of back to that. In the beginning of the year, they were. Yeah, it's frustrating to watch. I know Evan, I saw in the break, I saw Evan has done, did his Rico Bronya.
He's what a happy. Transition, Jerry.
Why?
What a transition.
Oh, you got it. Oh,
yes.
Cool. Oh,
so Mendoza's confident. Evan Roberts not nearly as convinced. This was part of the live reaction Rico Bronya podcast in the wee hours of this morning.
And what we all witnessed, ladies and gentlemen, is why we're let's start there. Why we're screwed. This team is going nowhere. Absolutely nowhere if the former top closer in baseball is going to suck the way he did tonight.
It's another guy who takes time off and he's got nothing else to do, apparently.
He's on vacation doing this?
Well, he did Monday, Tuesday. Again? He was off yesterday. He's off the rest of the week. Yeah. Between him and Al, I mean, these guys take time off together. And they do the same things they do normally.
You know what, though? Evan actually does go away.
Yeah, but when he goes away, it's usually built around a trip to see a baseball game.
That is true.
I mean, yeah, look loud.
I did hear him last week or the week before that, or maybe it was even 2 weeks ago, when the baseball schedule came out already for next year.
Oh, God.
And he said his little trick is he looks at the schedule now.
Yeah.
Then plans his vacation with the wife for next year so that when they're approaching the vacation, he says, oh, wow, the Mets are in. I had no idea.
Yeah, I'm getting moist.
The wife has to be hip to it.
I don't know. It's a pretty good plan because I don't know. Like, my wife loves baseball. My wife has no idea that next year's MLB schedule is out already. So it's a pretty good plan.
Yes, but I'd say the first time, maybe the second time, but if you do that 3 or 4 years in a row,
that's what I'm saying. Like,
she's got to catch on eventually.
Does she like baseball?
I don't know. I've only met her once. I'm not sure. My guess is she has to at least tolerate it if she's with him. I mean, you can't hate wives. You right or wrong.
I agree. I mean, he's admitted they've incorporated some of his love for baseball into the bedroom. Has talked about that before.
Because you know, most wives take over the whole vacation plan.
What does that even mean? They've incorporated his love of baseball into the bedroom.
Yes,
I'm hot.
Okay,
you have to tell me.
I don't get that one, but all right.
I mean, I don't want to go too far into it.
Okay,
but like,
that's
it's
fine.
You know, it's
look at that double play.
There's certain words that will come up that I guess work for him.
That turn him on?
I'm just telling you what he's said in the past.
That's a bunk.
Jerry, this is the same man, and I was going to get into this today, but there's not enough time. This is the same man that Monday and Tuesday admitted on the air and had to go back and forth with Morash and Lugauer that he doesn't wear deodorant.
Why?
Okay.
I have
because
heard
he claims that he washes well enough with soap in the shower that it sustains him throughout the course of the day. And he actually had both of these, you know, coworkers sniff his armpit on the air. And
okay.
It didn't go well.
He's pretty rank. He probably doesn't even use a washcloth when he washes.
There's a lot of weird things. Willie, as the more you're here, you'll learn that some of the people we have working in the building here are very unusual. How's that?
A little odd.
The no washcloths is diabolical. Yeah, you need a washcloth.
I mean, claims he takes at least two showers, sometimes three a day. But
I'm a two-day guy, too.
But, I mean, I don't care how many times you shower. That's an area that, you know.
You got to hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
even with deodorant sometimes by the end of the day.
Right.
Yeah,
not so great. Exactly. 100%. So the idea that you're going to go without it, yeah, it's
smell like a bag of nickels walking around.
You go yourself.
Okay. But I will say his point about Diaz and the Mets is pretty on the mark.
Kiss my ass, CeeLo.
Wow. How about that?
That's
it's
funny.
Like he's right here with us in the flesh.
I guess.
Rubber game today. David Peterson, Ryan Nelson. It's a 3:40 start out in Phoenix. The Mets, as you guys mentioned, are four back now because the Braves won again, a 5-1 victory over the Twins last night. Now, the Yankees dropped their rubber game to the Nationals down in D.C., 5-2. We've outlined the rough night for Carlos Rodon and most of the Yankee offense, 1-for-13 with runners in scoring position. But this hour, I want to focus in on this wild double play the Yankees had, right? 8-6-2, 3-2, 5-4. A little wacky. I'm going to play two clips, and I'm going to say at the beginning, I'm not playing these to criticize Ricky Ricciardo or John Sterling in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
It just, I think, illustrates that these types of plays are very difficult to keep up with.
Incredibly difficult.
And call. So we'll start with Ricky from last night's play.
Back goes Judge, back on the track, balls over his head, bounces off the wall. One run is going to score. They're going to send, now they've got runners between second and third. The runner gets back to third, and now we got a back and forth. Now the runner comes home, and now another back and forth between home and third. They're finally going to touch the runner, and he's out at third. And the other runner, now they've got a man between first and second. This is going to be a double play, and there's one runner safe at second base. This was almost the wackiest triple play you've ever seen in your life.
All right, so there's obviously a lot going on here, right?
I like the man.
You don't expect
the mental gymnastics man just went through.
On the spot, right? And it's funny he mentioned triple play there at the end, possible triple play. It would have been, it reminded me of a Sterling classic from some 11 years ago. So I will play that now.
And the pitch is lined on one hop to Cano. Flip it a short one. And they throw to third. Why? I don't know. They throw back. Back to second. Nix back to third. Euclid tags the runner out. Now a throw to first, the throw back to second. Triple play. It's a triple play. They got a triple play.
That one always
they throw to
gets
third.
Me.
Why? I don't know.
Why? I don't know. A little opinion thrown in there from John. So that's an awesome one.
That's pretty funny.
So I play these because, again, wild, wacky,
crazy play.
You don't expect. It's hard to keep up, especially on radio when you have to really be descriptive. The reason I play those, and how two excellent broadcasters, it's a struggle, right?
Absolutely.
I thought Ryan Rucco on the TV broadcast did about as good a job as you could do on this type of play, and here's what it sounded like.
Judge racing back. It's over his head. One hop off the wall. Gallo is going to be held up, but there's two runners there. Now Gallo's caught. They have a runner caught between second and third. Gallo is watching it. Now he's headed home. The throw home, and now the runner goes back to second. Gallo's going to be tagged out. They have the other runner in a rundown. Nobody covering second, though. Two runners in rundowns, and it ends up an inexplicable double play.
I mean, that's pretty damn good. He gives you the names.
And he also has the video to help him,
yes,
too.
Yes, of course. But he's got the excitement, good. Of the play, sort of the...
goes to show there's so much happening on that play.
I read you the scoring.
Why couldn't Craig have gotten that play? Oh, that would have been fabulous.
That's a good point.
Man, that would have been great. But yes, that I don't even know how you would, if you don't know the players by sight.
Right.
Like, I'm sure Ricky knows the Yankees, obviously, by sight, especially positions they're at, but you can tell just their mannerisms. You probably don't know the Nationals by sight.
No.
That's incredibly difficult to do.
They're not standing in the batter's box. Exactly. It's not one guy. You got multiple guys. And the Nats were running the bases like they had blindfolds on.
It's
tough to keep up with who's where. Pretty wild. But
you never know what you're going to see at a baseball game.
That's right. Another loss for the Yankees against the sub-500 team. How about this? Sub-500 teams, they're 24-20, which is the 22nd worst record in baseball against sub-500. 500 or better, 54-36, best in baseball.
Win the World Series.
I guess.
They're going to win the World Series.
So we talk about, well, what's going to happen? I say it all the time. What's it going to look like in October when they face the better teams? Well, against the better teams, at least in the regular season, they've been the best in baseball.
So as long as they can find a pitcher.
See if that carries over.
Yeah.
Yes. Apparently this, I don't.
Maybe, just maybe, we will have a dual championship this year in New York.
Oh, boy.
Yankees in October, Jets in early February.
How about we start with one?
Forget that. Let's blow right through one. We want two.
Why stop there? How about four?
You might get the Knicks.
And one of the hockey teams.
Maybe we sweep all the sports this year. New York is back.
There you go.
Maybe.
That can be your thing. You'll be the leader. Like Lou Gowers, the leader for the Mets, right? He's the general future.
No, I don't want to be the leader.
You don't want to be that guy?
Not for those teams.
I don't want to be the leader.
All right.
No, but because I'm not... Lugie is a diehard Met fan, so he's on the whole positivity thing, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
In this
really
case,
lean into that right now.
I can't lean into the Yankees winning the World Series, the Jets. Now, I want to be right about the Jets for sure.
The Rangers hoisting the cup. Can't get behind that.
No, yeah. No, I don't think so. And while I do love Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart, I'm not a Knicks fan. It's, you know.
You're not a Knicks fan.
No, I'm a Nets fan.
He's a Nets. Yeah. He and Evan say that. Are Nets fans.
Yep.
So he shares that in common with the no deodorant guy.
Thank you. Oh. That's a weird way to say that.
Oh.
It's true.
Just saying.
Kiss my ass, CeeLo.
Just saying. We mentioned a couple of those local teams. Did you see MSG and Yes are teaming up to launch a... Are you going to get into that? You want me to not?
No, I wasn't going to get into it. I'm not into all the cable stuff. And
I know, that's more Al's...
That's an Al specialty.
Neck of the woods.
But
all
I
right.
think the one thing I did see is if... So, like, I already subscribed to DirecTV Stream, so I guess if I get this app, I can get it for free on my phone, so that's kind of cool. And I guess if you can't get the games, you can buy the games in this app. So that's neat, too.
Yeah, it's for all the teams, which is Knicks, Yankees, Nets, Rangers, Islanders, and Devils.
Mm-hmm.
It's $42 a month or $360 for the year.
That's if you don't have...
Correct. If you're if this is something that you don't have access to already. Or I guess MSG is $30 a month, so you'd get the Knicks plus the hockey teams. And Yes is $25 a month.
So that's interesting. So I get... Yankees, Knicks, Rangers, Devils, Islanders. Is that it? Is that all of them you just said?
And the Nets.
And the Nets.
So you're missing the Mets.
Is that the only team you're missing is the
Nets? Well, outside of the Jets and the Giants.
Yeah, but the Jets and Giants are on channel 2 and
right,
5.
That's what I mean. Okay.
That's really... Who?
Aren't they part of the MSG?
Who's that?
Is that not anymore?
Oh, wait, they're on Yes. You're right.
Are you on Yes now? Okay. Okay.
That's interesting. Because, you need the Mets. Okay, so...
The Mets is separate.
I only say it from the standpoint is if you're going to give up a streaming service. Like the DirecTV Stream for me has everything.
That's
why it's perfect. If you can't get every team without the Mets, it doesn't work for me.
That's the one thing missing.
Yeah, no, I have to have it.
Let me play you Gerard Mayo from yesterday before we get to some news that has come out here. So, of course, he shows up for his press conference and admits that they've made a decision on who their starting quarterback is going to be, but he wasn't ready to share it yesterday.
I know everyone wants to know that. I'm going to talk to the individual players tomorrow. I'm going to have a team meeting tomorrow, and then I'll get it to you guys.
So is that assuming you made a decision? You just haven't communicated it yet?
Yes, we've made a decision. Just haven't communicated. And honestly, I want those guys to hear it first from me. Before they hear from someone else.
And apparently that team meeting has taken place, and the report is it will be the veteran Jacoby Brissett over the rookie Drake May, which is pretty much what we kind of expected, right?
Yeah. Which is respectful. If you're going to put these guys through a competition battle, at least let the guys hear your process, your thought process behind why you made the decision.
Yes.
You don't want to read a paper or get a tweet that, hey, Jacob's up. Jacoby's up,
100%. So. Speaking of decision-making, Mike Tomlin chose the veteran Russell Wilson over Justin Fields. Here he was outlining some of what went into that decision yesterday.
It was difficult in a positive way. The decision was difficult because of what they're capable of doing. Decision was difficult because of how they have conducted themselves, as opposed to the things that they fall short in terms of capabilities or negative conduct.
Negative conduct? I'm thinking he meant that's a different... Funny. Usually he's very good. Did he mean conduct?
Do you think that's
the word he was going for?
I don't think those two guys are any trouble.
He means like characteristics maybe or capabilities? I don't know.
He said capability, what they're capable of.
Yeah, true.
I don't know.
But he circled it. Negative conduct makes you seem like, they had to find them
or
something.
Did you guys laugh at him?
Mike T?
I don't mean as a football coach. I mean when the way he talks sometimes and the way he uses the different catchphrases. That's what I mean.
That's a good question. Did we ever laugh? No, we laughed with him a lot. I don't know if we ever laughed at him. I don't know if you know Omar Apps. He gets mistaken to be Omar Apps. All that nonsense.
From House.
Yep. And so I think we just, a lot of the isms, people, I think from the outside in, ask us for a clarification. Like, what did he really mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, duh, we're trying to figure it as much as you. Sometimes his stoicism is as profound as you hear it. So we kind of got to dissect it. But he's always been very clear cut and black and white about what he means and how he approaches things. So we just kind of sit back and say, oh, great one, wise one.
Great one, wise one.
Yeah.
I like that.
The first press conference every week when he gets up there with no notes.
Oh, my God. It runs through everything.
The prior game runs through every unit of the upcoming opponent.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible.
His preparation is on another level. He's always prepared. And that's just Mike T. That's what makes him great.
We love them here. We love to play the clips, right?
Yes, we do.
Last one before I go. Yeah. Here's 49ers GM John Lynch with the media yesterday, and it sounds like he's pretty much just had enough of this Brandon Ayuk situation at this point.
Was it communicated to Brandon's camp at any point, say, in the last week, that he would be expected to practice starting?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into our communication again, but, you know, there's... You know, at some point, you got to play.
Apparently, he's been cleared by doctors, but not going to take the practice field. You also got the Jamar Chase situation with the Bengals, where Zach Taylor...
And Trent Williams in San Francisco, too, not playing.
He's not.
This is why John Lynch is running thin. He goes, guys, we have to win this year.
And you got the Jets coming in.
Everybody's getting paid or has been paid to some degree.
Yeah.
Like, let's move on. And then, to your point, Jerry, the Jets will be here in 2 to 3 weeks. And by the way, they're going to be showing up pissed off, ready to play.
You're not kidding.
Like, let's get it. Let's
10
enough.
Days now.
Sort of the flip of what we talked about yesterday with Hassan Reddick. It's like, hey, the 49ers aren't going to wait and take it easy, but they've got their own guys on the other side of the ball dealing with the Jets defense.
But the problem is, and not to be pessimistic, it feels like the Niners could get over this, right? Like, the Jets, I don't know if the Jets can get over not having Hassan Reddick being ready to go, because they need to get home. For week one,
yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, Trent Williams not being there, they're finding a way. They still have Debo and Kittle and a rest. I mean, Elijah.
McCaffrey,
Elijah Mitchell.
He's banged up too, McCaffrey.
Yeah.
He's got a calf injury.
He'll be fine. But Elijah Mitchell hurts him a little bit because he's thrown on IR. You know Brock Purdy's going to be coming out humming. So I think there's a little more optimism when it comes to on the Niners Super Bowl.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you next hour. Mm-hmm. Good job. When we come back, a little add-on to the fast food conversation from yesterday, but there's a Jet tie-in to it. So we will do that on the other side. We'll reset. We'll also have Bruce Beck coming up next hour as well. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Don't go away.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Coming up on 10 to 9, it is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo, Fan CBS Sports Network. Boomer and Geo will be back on Tuesday. Alan Eddy will be back as well. And then pretty much here every day until you get to Thanksgiving, for the most part. Might be a day or two here. So yesterday, about this time, you guys educated me on the White Castle burgers. And we were talking about the Wendy's baked potato and all that stuff. And you were talking about the Big Mac and the fish sandwich and pushing them together and making your, what does it call it? Your
surf and turf.
You got your microphone on there?
Oh, I apologize.
The surf and turf sandwich, right? Exactly. So I saw a tweet from Sauce Gardner from, it was either yesterday or the day before. I'm not sure, but on Twitter, it comes up on the For You side. So for whatever reason that came up. And it was something, I'm paraphrasing, but it was something along the lines of, as much as I hate to admit this, I got to say, New York pizza is better than Detroit pizza.
Was that ever a question?
Well, I think there's a question for some, given where you're from. Is Chicago deep dish pizza better?
Oh, you mean Detroit casserole?
Style
I hate
pizza.
When people claim Chicago. It's pretty
New
much
York
casserole.
Pizza, California. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I think it's different. I mean, Detroit pizza is different than New York pizza, clearly.
Sure.
It's made different, just like Chicago pizza. You call it a casserole. To me, it's more like
a dish.
I mean, it's almost like a meal for two. They're so thick, and it's more than just pizza, obviously. But can I ask you about the way your wife eats pizza?
Yeah, I'm not going to get offended if you want to ask why.
Well, because you're saying, was there ever a question? I mean, someone near and dear to you eats pizza in a different way.
Yeah, so I didn't know this. So my wife's from Jackson, Mississippi, and people in the South don't eat plain cheese pizza. If they order a pizza, it has to have meat on it. That's the only way they process it. Well, my wife, she got here in 2013, roughly around the same time I got to the Jets, and I was extremely excited to let her know how we take pride into the plain cheese slice and what have you. And so we went to a couple of spots. One of my favorite spots to go eat, one of my favorite pizzas is Tommy's over in Throgneck's in the Bronx. I think their pizza's phenomenal. They don't do the flour. They do cornmeal, which is good. Fast forward. Well, my wife, while I'm showing her the different, pizza spots and the pizzas that I love, she was like, do you have a bag of potato chips? And I was just like, why do we need potato chips? Well, this is not a sub, this is not a hero, if you will. She's like, no, I need to eat potato chips with my pizza. And for the first time, I was like, "This may not work out." this is a problem. You will embarrass me in front of my fellow New Yorkers if you're having a bag of potato chips with this pizza. And she was like, "Well, I just need some starch." I'm like, "You're eating." I'm trying to figure out what's the disconnect. And so it's an ongoing thing to the point, like, if we're in a city and I'm like, "Hey, man, I'm just going to grab a slice," I keep it to myself. Because I don't want her to eat a slice of pizza with a bag of potatoes.
So that's still ongoing. That still happens.
Yeah. Her, she does not care. She's like, "I don't care nothing about your feelings.
Good for her.
If I want to eat potato chips with my slice of pizza, I will.
Eat what you like."
So we don't eat pizza around each other because it annoys me that much.
Beverage of choice when you have your pizza?
Oh, I'm easy. Sometimes I either get a water or I do a Snapple.
What about milk?
Milk? What do you mean milk?
I said milk.
What are you asking me? What kind of milk I like?
About milk with pizza.
What are we doing right now? Milk with pizza? I stated earlier how African Americans are naturally, by genetic code, lactose intolerant. And you want to double up on a dairy?
I forgot about that. All right.
Just say you don't want to have time. You don't want to spend time with me.
No, right? Because for me, it's either a Coke with the pizza.
Fair.
And I love it. Phenomenal. Or milk. And I get ripped to shreds for it.
Milk and pizza is absolutely
such a good combination. It's awesome.
I don't even think... you're the first person I've ever heard even mention it.
Really good.
Jerry, your toilet bowl is angry at you for that.
No, it's fine.
I mean...
Milk with pizza is fine. I don't have lactose problems. That doesn't faze me.
Can I ask where this stems from? Was it?
I don't know.
Was it a combo in grade school where you got the square Elios with the side carton of milk?
No, all right. I don't mind the Elios too when they got nothing else.
Yeah, Elios is like that.
All right, but
that's like your house is on fire and
it's pretty. You put it in the toaster oven. It's easy. It's quick. What about?
I haven't eaten Elios since I was like.
What about the Stouffer's French bread pizza? Come on, for frozen pizza, that's pretty good.
What's happening in your household?
I'm serious. I'm not comparing this to people. I'm not comparing it to going out and getting real pizza.
I know you're
talking about.
You're consciously going to a supermarket, buying this stuff.
French bread pizza, terrific.
Like there's levels to this. Like you only eat that stuff if there's a house fire.
No, come on.
You lost your kitchen.
Mm-mm. Like no.
DiGiorno's. If you're gonna do frozen pizza, you do DiGiorno's.
DiGiorno's very good too, but that's a much bigger pot.
French bread.
The DiGiorno, the Stouffer's is you're by yourself. You have two quick things in the oven. And it takes 10 minutes, and you're good to go. There's the DiGiorno's for a couple people. Should be. I guess you get the little ones, I suppose.
Yeah, listen, I think if you're eating frozen pizza in the tri-state, I mean, you have bigger issues at home. There's like a million pizza spots with really good prices.
We're all not going to go spend, by the way, now, $20 on a pie all the time. Sometimes you have something quick and you also don't have an hour to go out and pick it up or wait for delivery.
Yeah, that's a great excuse if you live in North Carolina. I mean,
that's not a good excuse. That's true.
There's great pizza everywhere.
Agreed. I agree. But sometimes you don't want to go out or have delivery.
There's literally 99 cent sliced pizzas out here. Literally.
Right down the street.
Right down the street.
But sometimes you don't want to go out. Sometimes you're home.
And when you don't want to go out, don't choose
Stouffer's. So you're telling me you don't stock up any frozen food?
No.
None.
Outside of the kids.
Okay.
The kids want, like, you know, they want the alphabet nuggets or something. They will do that. We'll do like the 5-minute french fry bag. But most of it, we don't.
So your freezer has french fries, chicken nuggets, and ice?
We also have a deep freezer where we do the meats and stuff like that.
Okay.
But outside of that, we don't have like, there's no microwave dishes in my.
How about, so not doing, even like the Jimmy Dean breakfast sandwiches?
No.
Oh, come on, man.
I'm sorry I disappointed you.
That,
like, I don't know.
How could you not have those?
No, we don't. I mean, we just, I don't know.
All right, well, you want to eat something quick. What are you grabbing?
If I want to eat something quick?
Yeah, like you don't have time to really cook anything and you're not running out to the store. What's the go-to?
I just don't eat. I don't. Like I'm simple. I'm an eggs and bacon guy. That's it.
So, all right, for breakfast, yes. Yeah. I'm saying you're sitting there, it's 4 o'clock on a Saturday. You don't want to go anywhere. You've had a couple of drinks.
I'll make a sandwich, turkey and cheese or something, ham and cheese.
Kelly in Maryland, help me out, please.
I feel like you hated my answer there. I
love it.
Jerry, I totally get it. First, let me just say this. Yeah. I was born and raised in Wisconsin, like Milwaukee, 45 minutes from Chicago. To me, there is nothing better than Chicago deep dish. Second of all, I lived in New York for 19 years. My husband is born and raised on Long Island. And when he's like, "Do you want to get a pizza?" No, thanks. But if we have milk in the house, it's a different story. I will gladly have a glass of milk with pizza like there is no tomorrow.
Nice. See that, Willie?
This country's going to hell.
Jerry, just one other thing.
Yeah.
So I sent you that picture of me wearing the Recco golf shirt.
Oh, this is Kelly.
What's that? Yes, this is Kelly.
Got it.
What did you send me a picture of?
My shirts I make.
What's that?
I have shirts.
Shirts?
Yeah.
What do you mean shirts? Okay.
So she got one.
That you made?
Yeah. And she, well, let her finish.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Kelly.
So I posted to the Boomer and Geo fan page. What was I thinking?
I have no idea. Bad idea.
Okay, so everyone's like, oh, that's an awesome shirt. What a great picture. So them, some guy who I'm sure lives in his mom's basement with Cheeto fingers, has to chime in and say, oh, you're too pretty to be Al's wife. Well, I'm not. That must be Jerry's wife. No, Jerry's wife is beautiful and blonde. I am short, chubby, and dark. No, but thanks for all the compliments. And everybody is a troll. What was I thinking,
Jerry? I don't know, because the trolls come out like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and now you've learned your lesson, and we're not going to do that anymore, correct?
Correct. Absolutely.
Well, thank you for defending me.
And the good luck.
What's that?
I said thanks for the shirt and the good luck.
You got it, and you did. I know she went crabbing with her husband and had a wonderful day, and thank you for posting the photo, but don't do that ever again. And
I will not.
Enjoy your pizza and milk.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly. See? I'm not alone.
It's awkward.
I know. I'm minority, but not alone.
It's an awkward conversation to realize that people are out here drinking pizza with milk.
Well, I wouldn't. You would eat the pizza, drink the milk.
Either way, it shouldn't be milk on your table.
No,
when it's pizza.
I'm telling you, it's good. I'll tell you another thing.
What do you enjoy about that?
Everything. I prefer
texture, taste.
I prefer the Coke. Instead.
Okay, sure.
If I don't have the, and that's the only time I'll drink the Coke. Really, is when we get pizza. If I don't have that, milk is the second choice.
Man.
The water to me is pointless. It's just there. I don't know.
Water is more pointless than milk.
Yeah, milk has a taste to it. And it goes well with the sauce and the cheese. It does. It does. And I give you one other one.
I'm scared to hear it, honestly.
Probably going to make me throw up. You know when you get like a cold sub with the pizza? You know, you get like a cold sub, like a turkey sub, and then you get the pizza. Maybe you have a little bit of each or whatever. You take the shredded lettuce that has the oil and vinegar on.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, oh, oh.
O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.